The Big Story is brought to you by Scotia iTrade. There's a trader in all of us. You can't work hard at being authentic, which is why so many people are bad at it, especially politicians. That's never going to change, nor are they ever going to stop trying. Just ask 69-year-old Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. And you can do that now, because she does Instagram Live, apparently.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
What has changed, though, and what will never stop changing, is how we judge authenticity. Authentic politicians, once upon a time, were the ones you'd like to have a beer with, to borrow a phrase from every opinion poll ever. They were plain-spoken and real. Today's authentic politicians are not that.
You want a beer?
No, I'll pass on the beer for now.
You sure? Come over and say hello to folks.
Yes.
I mean, you might want to have a beer with them, but you'd also be just as happy to follow them on Instagram and watch them cook a meal, or vicariously peep at their nighttime adventures in the halls of Congress on their Twitter feed. So how does an older politician speak to the kids these days? How has 29-year-old New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez managed to shift that window of authenticity?
Here's the final product. We got some of our mac and cheese. You like it?
Is she the best at it, or just one of the first? And does the next generation of young, idealistic politicians really owe a debt of gratitude to their mortal enemy? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Stacey Lee Kong is a writer and editor for Flair. Stacey, why can't I stop refreshing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Instagram feed?
Because she is so good at social media. Because she uses it to further her agenda and her policies and to talk about, you know, she makes these points, but she's doing it in a hilarious way.
They will put their name on your bill and you kind of like get scooted to a co-sponsor, co-author, whatever, just because they can take your lunch money, pretty much.
And you can't help but laugh because it's almost theatrical. So, you know, Republicans think that they are so smart because they find a clip of her dancing and when she's in university and she's, you know, on a rooftop and she's twirling around and it's to the song Listomania. It was a meme. It was adorable, actually. But they thought they were getting her. They were mm-hmm. gonna, you know, they're sticking it to her. Exactly. And she turns around and she's like, yeah, I did dance in university. And guess what? Congresswomen can dance as well. And she does, like, it was a 10-second clip.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. Her response was her outside of her office as a congresswoman dancing to War. And it was so perfectly on brand, communicating exactly the ideas that she wants to communicate in a way that's funny and clever and very – it's the way we are communicating in 2019. And she just dunked on him.
What has changed in the past few years in terms of politicians and their use of social media? Because – it's not that long ago that tweeting or Facebooking or Instagram, if politicians even used it back then, was the domain of the intern.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, you know, Donald Trump's famous line is, the intern who did a bad tweet apologizes. It's not interns anymore.
It's definitely not. And I think that this is a sign of the growing importance of social media and people understanding. And, in fact, there was a really interesting Twitter thread before the holidays in the context of publishing, where someone had made that joke, oh, you know, an intern is going to get fired. And this launched this conversation about the importance of social media for brands, for magazines, but also for any company, mm-hmm. and how it is an important tool in your arsenal that you don't leave to the most junior person. There are people who spend a lot of time learning how to do this well. And politicians had to take note, right? You can no longer afford to not engage with your constituents or your hopeful potential constituents where they are, and where people are is social media.
When did that change and how?
You know, I don't know exactly. I can't pinpoint an exact moment to say this is when that changed. Certainly, Donald Trump is he's mm-hmm. a big point in that story, right?
Nobody doubts that, well, maybe now, but when he began his Twitter account, nobody had any doubt that that was him behind the phone.
Hard to mistake him for anyone else, right? And I actually—
But you mentioned authenticity—
Yeah, he's very authentic, but in a bad way.
To you.
To me, yes. To me. And that's the thing. This is my liberal bias.
He's speaking to people who speak his language in the same way as Ocasio-Cortez is speaking to you.
Exactly. 100%. And not to say that people weren't doing that before, because I would say Norm Kelly, who was until just last year a Toronto City Councillor, he had, you know, he kind of went viral because he became the sixth dad. And mm-hmm. he was making these tweets where, you know, Norm is a white man in his mid-70s, and he was tweeting rap lyrics, and he was weighing in on the Drake Meek Mill beef, and he still sells merchandise with, like, six dad emblazoned mm-hmm. on it, which is kind of weird, but that didn't feel authentic.
Yeah, no,
right?
It did not.
So it's not that people weren't experimenting with social media. Certainly there were early adopters, and certainly there were people who were thinking about the power of social media, but maybe Trump is the turning point. Maybe he was the thing that made people realize that you ignore this avenue to your peril.
What kind of problems does that create for candidates who aren't Donald Trump or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or somebody else who's good at it? What do those candidates have to do?
They have to get good at it. I mean,
How does that happen if you're somebody like Elizabeth Warren, who is a policy maven, an incredibly smart and accomplished woman who has a great case to put before America about why she should be president? She's never used Instagram in her life, and now she's on Instagram Live grabbing herself a beer.
Yeah, you
did
could
you
tell
watch that?
I cringed my way through it. It mm-hmm. was so uncomfortable.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
And I'm the type of person who secondhand embarrassment is so hard for me. And part of me wanted to get up out of my desk chair and just walk away from my computer because it was so awkward.
You want a beer?
No, I'll pass on the beer for now.
You sure?
So this is maybe a larger and it's more a question of your like holistic brand. You have to use social media.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to use social media the way Ocasio-Cortez does.
Yeah.
And in fact, please don't use social media the way that Trump does. But you have to find the way that is authentic to you. And that's the challenge, I think, of living in 2019 is this idea of authenticity. And Instagram feels like a place where you have to be very authentic. That's, you know, partially because I think it's visual, partially because of the way people use it. There's a difference, right, in who and why you would use Facebook versus Twitter versus Instagram. If you are not a natural Instagram user, it's really weird to then jump on the bandwagon. And we are so attuned to this idea of, are you comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
Or can you perform being comfortable? When you think about Ocasio-Cortez, so according to her communications director, she does her own Instagram and she does her own Twitter, and she has someone who helps her with Facebook.
Okay.
But there's
I can believe it.
I totally believe
feet.
That. But just because she's the one doing the typing doesn't mean there haven't been strategy conversations.
Mm-hmm.
It would be stupid not to have strategy conversations. It would be stupid not to discuss almost like the way that we do at magazines, an editorial kind of calendar strategy, you know? Okay, so you're going to Congress orientation. How are you going to talk about that?
Right.
What is your thinking behind that? How is the way that you talk or broadcast or tweet or whatever, how's that going to fit into your larger policies and brand?
Yeah.
I know everyone has a brand and it's kind of...
Well, politicians have a
brand.
But
you do,
they
right?
Have to.
You have to have a brand and you have to stay on message. And that's why my loose sort of working theory is that what she's doing is using the tools at her disposal, which is the same as every other politician. And she's responding to criticism. When she dunks on some conservative writer who tells her that she doesn't look like a girl who struggles,
mm-hmm.
or when she posts funny emojis or she reposts memes or whatever, she's using the tools at her disposal and she's responding to criticism in a way to further her message. And that is the same thing that politicians have been doing since there have been politicians. The difference is she's talking to people who don't often get considered important. And that's the thing that's revolutionary, is that she's talking, she's not trying to appear to be a member of the elite. She is comfortable with her background, what she stands for. In fact, and obviously, her background is an asset to her policies and her platform.
Up next.
I would say of the politicians on a national stage in Canada that I've seen, he's probably the closest to what we're seeing happening in the U.S.
We all have investment goals, and Scotia iTrade can help you reach yours. Access free tools and resources to sharpen your investment skills. Visit ScotiaiTrade.com to start direct investing today. Scotia iTrade, there's a trader in all of us. A lot of this right now sounds like a very American phenomenon, but Canada has politicians. I mean, so here's an interesting example of the way the window moves, right? Because I feel like Justin Trudeau is caught between the two generations. You know, he's the selfie prime minister, and selfie was a very modern brand of authenticity that's now been bypassed by the next generation of politicians.
Absolutely. And it moved quickly, didn't it?
Yeah. So what happens to, well, first of all, to Justin Trudeau as we go into an election year, but to Canadian politics now that we're seeing this rapid shift on a national stage to the south, which naturally makes it an international stage?
Mm-hmm. So I am really curious about whether this will filter to us, because we have some politicians who do social media very well. Jagmeet Singh has a great Instagram game.
I want to go beyond just connecting and really bringing it back to people. And like, and so, sure, it's people should feel they can approach me, but then approach me so that I can hear their stories and then take their experiences and what they're going through, their struggles, and bring those to the limelight.
Had a great social media presence before he entered politics. Because remember, before we knew anything about him, really, we knew that he was a very dapper man who rode his bike in his very chic suits, and GQ was writing about him. And we only knew that because he was posting on social media. It's like, it's not like people were following him around paparazzi style.
Right.
It's that he built this brand. I would say of the politicians on a national stage in Canada that I've seen, he's probably the closest to what we're seeing happening in the U.S.
Someone who speaks the language.
Yes. But we still have this, I say feels a lot because it's hard to really define exactly what it is. It is hard to say, okay, well, XYZ thing,
right?
That's what makes it, you know, that's what makes you a millennial social media politician as opposed to just a regular politician who's using social media because, you know, you have to. But we still have people on the national stage who don't really have any Instagram presence. The Green Party has an Instagram account, or maybe two. I actually couldn't tell if they were both, because I went and I looked and I couldn't tell if one was official and one was not. Neither were verified. Couldn't find Elizabeth May. So she has a strong Twitter presence, but she's not on Instagram. And maybe that's the right way to do it. If you aren't comfortable on the platform or you aren't sort of speaking that language, maybe it's better to stay where you are comfortable. Because when you look at, so to me, Justin Trudeau's Instagram feed just looks like a politician's Instagram feed. It doesn't feel personal to him.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, he understands and does some of these things. He takes the selfie and he photobombs and whatever, but it doesn't feel like his Instagram account is an insight into him.
Right.
And maybe that's not what he wants. Probably that's not what he wants. But that is the thing that I think is the distinguishing factor, is when I watch Ocasio-Cortez make mac and cheese on Instagram Live.
A movement. And what is a movement? A movement is a broad-based coalition of people.
That's a different thing. You know, and people are not tuning in just to watch her make mac and cheese and be like, oh, here's some green onions. Agenda. When you look at the comments, they're asking her policy questions.
Right.
And she's done this cooking on Instagram Live a couple of times, and she will sometimes, like, address policy and talk about her thoughts and really go back to this idea of saving the world, which is quite central to what she's trying to do. That's a very interesting way to perform this authenticity, right? Like, I'm making food, but I'm making, like, comforting, recognizable food, and I'm going to talk to you about my beliefs at the same time. It's kind of like the 2019 version of, like, kissing babies and shaking hands and going out there amongst the people, right?
I was going to ask you, how different is this from the age-old question that used to be asked in politics, which is, who would you rather have a beer with?
So I don't know that it's that different. That's what I mean about
having a beer is a metaphor for authenticity.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a middle-aged white male politician, as most of them were.
Exactly. Not just authenticity, but also, like, being down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
You're not having some high-class cocktail or some wine that, you know, from a region that no one can pronounce. You're having a beer because normal people have beers.
A Budweiser, preferably.
Well, I guess. But, you know, it's the same thing. And that's why I don't think that she's captured lightning in a bottle. She's just doing this in a new way. She understands what people want from politicians. which is someone who feels like you know them. I mean, I guess that's what Trump's appeal is, right? That he is, despite the fact that he is incredibly wealthy and privileged, he presents himself as one of the little guys. He's doing that for reasons and to accomplish things that I don't like, but it has been masterful to watch someone who grew up with like a platinum spoon in his mouth act as if he is here for the little guy and he's on your side. Well, that's what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is doing as well. And obviously my politics thinks that she's doing a great job and what she stands for is the right thing. But the actual mechanics, they're not that different.
So last question, if you're a Republican politician, strategist, or even just a talking head on Fox News or some other show, what do you do about Ocasio-Cortez's Instagram and Twitter? Because they're ridiculing her and it's not working.
Here's the left. Suddenly they want to return to the 1950s.
That's a great point. I mean, all of her ideas are straight out of the socialist playbook.
I think maybe the better thing for them to do is to find their own very savvy millennial and try to create that a media presence around them. Like, I think distraction is probably going to work a lot better than coming down hard on her because you're right, it's not working. And it's not going to work because it's so obvious what the goal is here. Like, oh, you danced. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, in university, she danced to Listomania. The horror.
It's giving her exactly what she wants, which is a chance to clap back, which she's
exactly
great at.
So the best thing they can do is to stop giving her ways to dunk on them.
You're not going to beat her at her own game.
No.
Thanks, Stacey.
Thanks for having me.
Stacey Lee Kong, writer and editor for Flare.com. That was The Big Story, brought to you by Scotia iTrade. You can visit ScotiaiTrade.com to start direct investing today. And for more from us, we are always at thebigstorypodcast.ca for all your past episode needs, as well as anything you might like to contact us about. And we have a brand new, it's shiny, it's a new Twitter handle, at TheBigStoryFPN. That's because we have other social media surprises in the coming days, so stay tuned. And of course, please subscribe and rate and review and tell us what you think on any podcast app you might want to use, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.